Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
Oh, come on, you all. We can do a little bit better today. It's a beautiful sky. Praise the name of Jesus. It's a wonderful day. Amen. We may not be feeling all our best. We may not have everything that we desire. There's some things in which we want changed in our lives. But at the end of the day, we are here. Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to say, let's praise the Lord. And I want to hear everybody to the top of your lungs just yell, hallelujah. Amen. Praise
hallelujah.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That is the highest praise. You know, the Bible reminds us that when praises go up, blessings come down. It also reminds us that when we say praise the Lord, hallelujah is the highest praise that we can offer unto God. Amen. And there's a lot to be thankful for. Amen. Praise God. A lot that we've come through, a lot of things in which we've had to deal with over the last year or so. But with that, we are still here. Some people, unfortunately, did not make it through last year and all that we've had to suffer with the pandemic and everything else. But at the end of the day, we are still here. Amen.
Amen.
And so as long as we're here and we have the use of the faculty of our limbs, we're in our right minds, we have to thank God for who He is and all that He does in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Because there's a lot of things in which I desire to be different in my life, but at the moment, they're not. And so I'm just going to be thankful for where I am. Praise the name of Jesus. Welcome you all to service this morning. For you all who don't know me, I'm Pastor E. Todd Stubblefield. I've been blessed over the last 3 years, I think it is, Kevin, to come down here
at least 3 years
and hang out with you all, that those who have been here and those who have not. It is just a blessing each and every time. Just to let y'all know, we are live on Facebook because of my church and other people who are joining with me each Sunday morning and Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. We're on every morning, Facebook Live with Bible study. We call that our morning wake up. And so we're on at 6 a.m. to 6:30. And then we have Bible study on Wednesdays. And I mean, we just got church going on every day. Praise God. And so ultimately they are on live. And I want to welcome those who are with us on live on Facebook, as well as those who are with us on conference call, because we have others that are on conference call that don't have Facebook Live. And so with that being, or don't have Facebook. And so with that being the case, we try to use every means that is possible to get the good news of Jesus Christ out to as many people as possible and to keep them encouraged. Praise God. And so again, we are thankful. I'm thankful for my family and friends who have come down here with us this morning. Some that are members of our church. Well, actually everybody that's here today is a member of our church. Praise God. Because we have a number of people that are not members of our church, as I said, that follows us, except for my one family right here, that follows us every again, Monday through Friday in the morning at 6 a.m. We get up, we get on that live. We're called the morning crew. That's what they call themselves. They call themselves the morning crew, and we just have a good time in the Lord. Amen. And so I won't take up a lot of your time this morning. Again, I am thankful for the opportunity to be here with you all this morning. If you have your Bibles, and if you don't, you have a piece of paper, write it down so you can go back and look at it. Turn with me to a very familiar passage of Scripture, especially my morning crew, as well as my church members are familiar with. I've been stuck on this passage forever and a day. And I can't seem to shake it, and so I'm not going to fight against it. I'm going to continue to teach on it as long as the Lord would have me to teach on it, because it's vitally important to our growth and development as children of God. And we're coming out of Luke chapter 10, 25 through 30. Let's see where we are. 25 through, let's see. Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. Now, I know that's a lot of reading. Yes, ma'am.
No song?
Would you like to? Well, come on up here. Praise God. My wife says she wants to sing you all. Praise the name of Jesus. Because normally I do a song. And so she stopped me. I was getting a little excited ahead of myself. But she said she's going to sing this morning. And so I'm going to go ahead and let her do what she do. Amen.
Praise the Lord,
everybody. Praise the Lord.
When you have expectancy in Christ, you know what's going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
When Christ shows up on the scene, you already know it's going to happen what you've been asking for. Amen?
Amen.
So when Brother James here came in, stand up, James, let me see you. First thing he hit me with is, you're going to sing a song, right? So I'm like, because I normally do, right? So I'm glad to see you, Brother dear.
How are you?
Glad to see the whole family. Thank y'all for coming down. Thank all of you all who are present here today. Remember, go get your blessing. Go get it. Whatever you're asking God for, just wait for it, because it will happen. Amen. How many of you all know the song Waymaker? Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to play that after I sing How Great is Our God.
Amen.
Do you all know how great is our God?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Okay, because I don't ever want to do a song that you all feel that you can't connect with, okay? Because I am a praise and worship leader, and I feel like, I feel kind of lonely if I don't see you engaging with me, okay?
Amen.
So we're going to try it, all right? I don't mind you sitting down, so you can try to follow me. If you know it, just sing out loud. I'm not looking for on point, on notes. I am not, because the God we serve accepts it all.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So it's good to see you with your family over there. Thank you for coming out. All of you all, thank you for coming out. Okay? So I'm going to start off, and you all can just join in with me. Right, Pastor?
Yes.
Right,
Pastor? Yes,
ma'am. Amen. All right. Here we go. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Let's do that part again, okay? Here we go. How great is our God.
How great
is our God. All will see how great is our God. Now let's go, name above every name. Hallelujah. Here we go.
Name above all names,
He's worthy to be praised.
He's worthy to be praised.
My heart will sing.
My heart will sing.
How great is our God. Name above every name. Here we go.
Name above all names.
He's worthy to be praised.
He's worthy to be praised.
My heart will sing.
My heart will sing.
How great is our God. Now give yourselves a round of applause. Amen. It only happens when you get involved. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to queue up Waymaker.
Now you want my question, you want the live version or the single version?
Which one you want? The single version?
Live is fine, either or.
Okay. We're going to do that one?
Okay.
Yeah, whatever he says.
Oh, can I get that right? Whatever he says.
I think I have a lot of witnesses here. Whatever he says. You got it? This is my pastor, one of his favorite songs. So if he gets loud with it, it's okay. And you can turn it up as far as he goes. I like my music loud. What y'all laughing at me? I like it loud. I worship you.
You are here, lying in a I worship you.
That's right, Pastor. Sing along.
You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in my midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you.
Lift up your hands, everybody. Come on and just tell God right here, right now. Hallelujah.
You are here.
Hey, hey.
I worship you, Jesus. I worship you.
worshiping a king that can do anything. Hallelujah. Nothing is too hard for God.
I worship you. I worship you.
That's all we're saying.
Keeper, keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Amen.
Get your breakthrough, y'all. Whatever you hold on to, get your breakthrough. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Praise God. That is one of my favorite songs, you all. That song helps me get through. I don't know about you all. Even in the simplest of things, when I think about, you know, just getting out there and taking a run, and I hear that song as it starts playing through my AirPods, it just gives me that jolt of energy that I need to push on through, even in the simplest things, a little bit of exercise. But then as deep as those things that are troubling my heart, when you don't see a way out of situations, that song will pull you through what you have need of. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, let's go before the throne of grace. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time in which we have together that we may worship and praise your holy name. I ask right now, Heavenly Father, that you fall afresh and new upon each and every one of us with your spirit, Lord, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, Lord, that we may, Heavenly Father, continue to walk in your ways and do the things in which you've called us to do as your children, that we may live a life, Heavenly Father, pleasing unto you, that we might fulfill your will each and every day. And God, when we find ourselves falling short, Heavenly Father, let us look unto the hills which cometh our help. Our help cometh from you. These things I ask in Jesus' mighty matchless name I pray. Let everybody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
So again, I won't keep you all real long. Praise God. Thank you all for your patience. Thank you all for coming out this morning. We don't take it for granted. We really don't. That you all come out to hang out, whether some of you all are down here camping or whether some of you all have traveled with us from the Northern Virginia area, or wherever from whence you have come. We do. We thank you, and we appreciate you all hanging out with us, because you did not have to do it. Amen.
Amen.
But because you chose to do it this morning, I pray that what I'm about to give you in the Word, I pray that it meets you right where you are, and it continues to help you grow in Christ, because that's what God wants us. God wants us to look more like Christ each and every day. Amen.
Amen.
And so, no, we'll never be Christ Jesus, but he wants us to look like him. And so that's God's desire for our lives. So I'm going to do quite a bit of a reading right here, you all, from 25 through 37. Again, most people online who generally follows with us in the mornings, as well as our church members, already know where I've been on this. I've been on this subject, you all, for probably about a week and a half, 2 weeks. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about Sundays. Again, that's every morning, Monday through Friday. Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. My church has been with me again, and those who are not members of my church but hang out with the morning crew, every morning, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m., we're on. And so we've been on this subject. We've been touching it, going back and forth. And I know some probably say, he's on that subject again. Yes, I am, because the Lord won't let it go. Praise God. And if God is not letting me go, I'm going to hang on in there. And in fact, in the wee hours of this morning as I was sleeping and I kind of woke up, this thing just popped right in my heart. And God began to answer some questions for me as it relates to this particular passage of scripture that I'm going to share with you all this morning. Because I was looking high and low for it, and God gave it to me, and I was ever so thankful. And I began to share it with my wife, because really, as I thought about it, I began to think about circumstances and situations that surround my life. Not personally in the sense of what I'm experiencing, but what I know people to be experiencing, and how can I be the difference maker in Christ Jesus? How can God use me to be the difference maker in the lives of other people? And that's what's so important. So here it is in Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. I'm going to read all of it, you all. Bear with me. I'm going to get through it pretty quickly. And then we'll go back to where I want to focus our attention this morning. And it says this, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law?'" Now, I'm going to stop real quickly right here. I need you all to get this in your spirit, man. And again, those who are with me, I already know what I'm going to say. Here, a lawyer asked Jesus a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus asked him a question that is really important to each and every one of us. And if you are a child of God and you proclaim Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, this has to be a major part of your life. He says, "What is written in the law?" The man says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he says, "What is written in the law?" Jesus answers the question with a question. And the law is God's word. And so as the body of Christ, children of God, we ought to know what? God's word. Are y'all with me? As the children of God, we ought to know what? God's word. It's not good enough, you all, for us just to say that we are children of God, because the keys to our success, our prosperity, our ability to overcome the trials, the tribulations, our ability to climb the mountains and to walk through the valleys, all are dependent upon the fact that we know what? God's Word.
Amen.
It is the keys to our life. It is. It is the keys of life. It is the very thing that God has given us, and so that when we find ourselves dealing with tough and difficult times, that we can be the more than conquerors that Jesus talks about, and that we can be overcomers despite of the things that are coming against us.
Amen.
And so he asks them, he says, what is written in the Word? And then the next thing he says about it is, what is your reading of it? And that's equally as important as well, because not only should we know what's in the Word of God, but we should also have an understanding. He says, in all you're getting, get what?
Understanding.
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 That's what God tells us. He says, in all you're getting, get understanding. So it's not good enough for us just to know the Word of God, but we should also have a good what? Understanding of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, these things are important to us as the children of God in order that we can not only make it, but we can thrive, we can prosper, we can grow, we can be more than conquerors. We don't have to allow ourselves to be set back by the things that are set against us. All of us are going to go through, amen?
Amen.
All of us have problems, amen?
Amen?
Do all of us not have problems? I know I have some problems, praise God.
Amen.
And it's just a part of life. Life is going to present us with those things, those challenges. And so with that being the case, God has given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. He placed Christ on the cross for us, that we would be more than conquerors, that we would be victors and not what? Victims.
Amen.
What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. So his question was answered. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, what's written in the law? What's your reading of it? What's your understanding of it? And he says, love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And equally as important, to love who? Your neighbor as your what? Self. Now, here's what's interesting. The word says a lawyer stood up. And then Jesus says, what's written in the law? So he already knew what was written in there. Amen?
Amen.
And so he says this. And he said to him, you have answered rightly, do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, how many of us like to justify ourselves sometimes? Okay, when you know that you have to be responsible for something and you may not have always did what it was that you were supposed to do, and somebody questions you on it, you always want to do what? Justify yourself.
Justify.
Maybe it's just me. I always find myself having to justify myself. But how many of us know that we've been justified by who? Christ.
Amen.
So you don't have to do what? Justify yourself. If you are following the Word of God, if you're living the life that God has called you to live, you don't have to justify the
Amen.
Things in which you do. The only time that we find ourselves justifying things in which we've done is because sometimes we feel a little bit what? Guilty about the things that we've done or the things that we did not what? Do.
Amen.
Are y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
Okay, so let's roll on real quickly. And so he says this. But when he justified himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said to him, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He set him on his animal, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, being the lawyer, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus says to him, go and do likewise. And let me back up for a second. Something he said, he says up in the 30th verse, actually 31 verse, he says, now by chance. Now by chance. It just happened. It just happened to be that a priest came by, a Levite came by. It just happened that a Samaritan came by. And it's important that we notice these three different individuals, because the priest could be anyone from any other religious belief. The priest could be anybody. Don't matter who it is. It could be a leader of another religious organization. But the Levite is one of God's priests that happened to pass by a situation and he kept on going. Which really is something that is bothersome when we know what Christ Jesus did for us. The Bible reminds us over in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, when we were still without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. In other words, when we couldn't get right, how many of y'all feel like some days you just can't get right?
Amen.
Wake up in the morning, things are just not happening for you.
Amen.
You've done your very best, and you just feel like you can't do what? Get right.
Amen.
You done worked your hardest. You done tried to figure it out. You done put everything in place that you thought you needed to put in place, only to find yourself still where you were the day before, and you feel like you can't get what? Right.
Amen.
But in Christ Jesus, he died for us, that we are right in him. Amen. Didn't mean we have it all together, but we are right in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so here it is, by chance. And this, and you all need to hold on to this. By chance. Every one of you all in here this morning are going to run up on a situation where you have to make a decision in your life.
Amen.
To whether you're going to help, or you're going to find yourself in the position of the priest or the Levite. The ones who know to do what?
Right.
Good and right. But chose what? Not to.
Amen.
Almost all of us, and all of us have been in that position already. A lot of us even have been driving down the road, seeing somebody on the side of the road that needed help, and we drove right past and we said, I know I should turn around, but I got somewhere I gotta go. I gotta be somewhere. I can't be hindered. I gotta get where I need to get to because this is important. Or we have that thought, I'm not sure if I wanna get out because I don't know if this is a setup or I don't know who that individual is, because we are in a crazy world. Amen. Praise God. And we just can't always put ourselves out there to be exposed and taken advantage of, because there are some people who will do that. Try to take advantage of you and use that situation. And so, you know, by chance, all of us are going to run into the grocery store and see somebody in front of us that don't have enough money to pay for food that they have on that conveyor belt. And you're questioning whether you should do it. Well, all of us are going to come up to that stop sign or stoplight, seeing that man or woman who's panhandling, and say, I don't know if they are doing this because they're taking advantage of people, or if they're doing this because they're really in need because they fell upon hard times. I just don't know. And then we're wishing that the traffic light turns quickly so that we don't have to face them eye to eye so we can drive right off. Am I telling the truth?
Yes,
yeah.
All of us, in some shape, fashion, or form, by chance, will find ourselves having to answer the question, to do I do or do I not help this individual? And I'll give you all a quick story. Some of y'all may have heard this already. I was flying down a road, leaving the house, trying to get to Walmart because I was trying to get my grill on. I need to go to Walmart because I was short some stuff and I was trying to get my grill on. What I mean by getting my grill on? I wanted to cook on the grill. And I was already behind my schedule. Not the schedule of the day, I was just behind what? My schedule. And I turned out off of Grand Park Road, I turned onto Route 1, and I'm flying down Route 1, and on the left, I see this car just bouncing. The back tire is flat and it's just bouncing as it's going down on the left. And I'm in the lane opposite of it, and there's a lane in between us, and I'm moving, and I'm questioning myself, do I pull over and help this individual? And then, you know, I can make up the excuse now that I was driving too fast and it just caught me off guard, and I was in the other lane, and I think, you know. And I got down by the car wash, and the Holy Spirit said, you better turn it around. And that's what I did. I looked in my rearview mirror and I looked on my driver's side mirror, and I safely got over into the left lane. I was down the street a little bit and I flipped the U, got on the other side of the street, rolled up the road a little ways, got to the nearest place where I could turn back around, and got behind the car as the car wobbled into a used tire dealership that's closed. And so I jumped out, and the two ladies, I don't know where they were from, but I said, hey, let me help you out a little bit. And so, of course, me and my great mechanic skills grabbed out my jack, got there underneath the vehicle, and realized I couldn't change the tire. And so instead of saying, hey, I'm going to just call someone else, I mean, AAA, I just call a friend of mine, which is T back there, T. Ellis. I said, hey, man, I need your help. What you doing? He says, I'm not doing anything. And I said, I need to get down here real quick and change these ladies' tires. I can't change it. Not because I don't know how to change tires, because I do. I just was not equipped to change her tire. I was equipped to change my tire, but not her tire. And he came down and he brought his impact wrench and he busted the nuts off of those, that wheel, got that situation squared away, got them on their road. They were happy. Got up the road, and then I did the next thing. I paid them for his time and services. So they wouldn't have to feel like they owed, but I called, and so I paid for his time and services. He said, no, you ain't got to do that, Pastor. No, we're going to do that today. Because the man is worthy of his hire.
Yes, he is.
And so, you know, I did that. But I say this because by chance, and this will be my message this morning, and just by chance it happened to be the message I'm going to give you. By chance, all of us are going to be faced with a situation to where you're going to have to make a decision. And some of you all, that's going to happen today. Mm-hmm. And you're going to look and say, well, I don't have enough money if I give this person my money to supply my needs. But God is the God who supplies all our needs according to his riches.
Amen.
According to the kingdom of heaven. That's what scripture says. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just don't like being inconvenienced. Mm-hmm. But we're born again what? Christians. Mm-hmm. But we don't like being what? Inconvenienced. But we are born again what? Christian. But we don't like to be what? Inconvenienced. We don't want people messing with our time. Time is precious. It's money. And we have things to do because we're important. Praise God. But I'm going to show you something that Jesus says, which is very important to all of us. And I need you to see this because you'll never get the full appreciation of this scripture without understanding it from this place right here. It's 10:07, so give me 7 minutes and I'll be done. Amen?
Amen.
Can y'all give me 7 minutes?
Amen.
And we'll be done. You laughing at me? Praise God. Laughter makes a merry heart. Listen to me. You'll never appreciate what Jesus just said in giving the parable until you understand it from the perspective that I'm getting ready to give it to you. Because the man wanted to justify himself. And oftentimes enough, we always make excuses to why we do or do not do the things in which we do. That's justifying. And so he says this. Listen to this. Now, so by chance, y'all hold on to that, right? Matter of fact, just do me a favor. Just tell somebody right beside you, say, by chance. You're going to have to make a decision. Because it's going to happen. Y'all going to have to make some decisions. And let me tell you something. I'm going to say this one, and most of us in here may not like what I'm about to say. Your decision that you will make today cannot be based upon your politics. Can't be based upon your culture. Can't be based upon your family, your friends. Your decision is going to have to be made based upon your relationship with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Because the decision you're going to have to make may offend somebody else because they're not going to like the decision because you're impeding their time and money.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Or you cause them to be late. Or they have some other things to do. They don't have time to help somebody else along the way. Because that's just the kind of life we've gotten to. That's the kind of people we've become.
Amen.
In the greatest country in the world, we're just too busy to help one another.
Amen.
I ain't getting a whole lot of amens, but I'll try.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
One thing you all will not be able to say is that I didn't tell you what the Lord said. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to this. And this is what the Lord was waking me up this morning and tucking on my heart because I asked him a question yesterday. He was tucking on my heart this morning to answer the question and finally got my attention in the wee hours of this morning when that stupid fan, we have a stupid fan, you all, we have a stupid fan. Everybody say stupid fan. So we have this fan that is demon possessed.
Oh, shit.
I should have jumped up early and laid hands on that fan and prayed for it. But we have this fan that we took from my son that has a shortage in it. And so as long as you leave it plugged up, it will turn itself on. and turn his cell phone. Turn his cell phone. And turn his cell phone. And turn his cell phone, turn his cell phone. And y'all think I'm joking. Am I joking, son? So, jokingly but seriously, when my wife finally got up, because she wants the fans running in the house, in the bedroom. My wife literally has three fans going on in the bedroom. Winter, summer, spring, and fall, there are three fans going on in the bedroom. Yeah. So when she unplugged that fan this morning, I said, God help me if that fan turned back on. I did. Yeah, I was laughing, but I was serious too. I said, God help me if that fan turned on and it's unplugged. Then we got a problem. But it did. It turned on probably 10 times back and forth this morning. Not every once in a while, it's I said, okay, Lord, either really this fan is demon possessed, either it has a shortage, or you want my undivided attention. I don't know. But after I was awakened by about the 10th time that it kept going on before my wife decided to turn it off and unplug it. Well, turn it off, it's got to turn itself off. Unplug it. I just got up, and that's when God began to deal with me about the scripture. Because I asked him about it yesterday. He began to deal with me in the morning. Here we go. Now I got to get out of here. Here we go. But this is what he says. To love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that what the scripture said?
Yes.
You can never appreciate what Jesus just did until you come to the realization of what that really means. To love your neighbor as yourself. And there's two words that God gave me, one in which you're familiar with. The second one, some of y'all may be familiar with and may not. I don't know. But the first one is agape. And most of us know, because we hear it all the time, that agape is an unconditional love. How many of you all love yourselves unconditionally?
Amen.
What do I mean by that? All of us know that we bad. All of us know we got some ways that we can change about ourselves. All of us know that we have done some wrong. All of us know that we're not the best that we could be, but we still yet what? Love ourselves.
Love ourselves.
Come on now. Am I the only one in here? Truly. You may not always feel good about what you do, but all of us know that we truly do love who? Ourselves. Unconditionally. We know we got hang-ups. We know we got all kind of hiccups. We know we got all kind of stuff with us, but we still love who?
Ourselves.
And you can never love someone else until you understand what agape loves look like when Christ Jesus died on the cross. Because I said it earlier, when we were still without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. When we couldn't make the right choice, we couldn't live by the law, when we couldn't do what they could, because I wasn't back then. But, you know, when we could not get things right, Christ saw the good and the potential and knew what we were made of. It was providing us the opportunity to have life and hit more abundantly and to be reconnected by God. So he made the sacrifice for us. He got on the cross. He died. He paid our debt that we might yet what? Live. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
He loved us un-what?
Conditionally.
And still loves us what?
Unconditionally.
And the only way that you can love someone as your true neighbor, not because they live next door and you all share baking secrets, or y'all like making knitting projects, or you like going hunting together, or you enjoy camping or vacationing together, or you all share some other sporting interests, or all those other things. That's not your neighbor. The neighbor is the one that you come across that you absolutely don't know anything about, and you see that there's a time of need, and you have an opportunity to make a decision to do good. By chance. That's the first one. And you have to learn to love people on what?
Conditionally.
Because if you put conditions on your relationship with the person that you come in contact with because you've sized them up, they don't look like the person they should be, they don't necessarily dress the way you think they should dress, or, you know, they look like they're taking advantage of something here or there, or they're not doing what they can do to be the best person they can be. If you start putting conditions on people, you'll stop helping people. If you let your political affiliations get in the way of you helping somebody, that's not Christ.
Right.
Amen.
If we let our culture, our color, whatever it is, get in the way of us helping somebody, That's not Christ. Got quiet, didn't it? I gotta sit down. But listen to that. That's the first one, agape. But the second one sounds very similar, but is a little different. It's called agapeo. So agape is Greek for unconditional. Agapeo is the love of action. And why is that so important? Because if I had fell among thieves, robbed, stripped, beaten, left for dead, what would I want somebody to do for me? Help me. If you were in the condition of the person that you so by chance came across today, what would you want somebody else to do for you? Amen. The Bible reminds us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, to do unto as you would have them what?
Amen.
That's agapeo. A-G-A-P-A-O. Agapeo. It arises out of Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 4, where it says, esteem others more highly than you esteem. In other words, value, respect, and honor others higher than you do yourself. Because at the end of the day, every one of you all are important.
Amen.
Every one of you all are awesome and great. Every one of you all are loved. Every one of you all are important. If not so, Christ would not have died.
Amen.
He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He did it. And he purposed and calls. He called each and every one of you all. It's no way, think about this for a second as I close. It's no way you get into this life without Christ knowing who you are and permitting it to be.
Amen.
No way you get into this world. You can't get in here and breathe this air. You can't have blood running warm in your veins. You cannot exist without God allowing you to get in here. Which means you're purposed for his kingdom. And so by chance today, when that man wanted to justify himself and say, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus said it best. He says, there was one who fell among thieves. Which one do you think is neighborly to him? And there wasn't even one that was described by religion. It was just a man who recognized that that could be him. And not only could it be him, what would I want him to do for me in this capacity? So he not only stopped by to see if he was all right, bandaged him up, took him on his way, housed him at an inn, paid for his night and whatever else he had need of, and then had the audacity to say, on my way back, if you spent more, I will repay you for a person I know absolutely nothing about. Because if it was me, I would want somebody to do it.
Amen.
Me.
Yes.
That's the love of God. You want to know how you earn eternal life? Not that we can earn it, but how you get eternal life? He says to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and your strength, and to love your neighbor by yourself. And if you don't believe him, when you get a chance, turn, I think it's over until either Luke 15, not today. You're not going to do it. Because I'm done. And I may come back and talk about next time I'm here, which is next month. But he talks about the rich man and Lazarus and how they laid him at the rich man's gate. Lazarus was hungry, full of sores, the dog licked his wounds, and the rich man passed him by every day. And I want y'all to look at what scripture says. It says when Lazarus died, this thing is so important, this is why you can't just read scripture and go through it and just pass it by. When Lazarus died, the Bible specifically said the angels ushered him to Abraham's bosom. And then it says the rich man died. What in the world? So those who are right with God get a usher. Those who are out of the will of God, you just what? Die. You don't get an usher. You pass go, you don't get to collect 200. You go straight to hell. And the Bible shows it right there. He had an opportunity, by chance, every day to do something good for a person in need, and he had the money to do it, and he chose not to do it. And after realizing his mistakes, after he was in hell eternally, before Jesus died on the cross and was raised, it was Abraham's bosom, there was hell, and he looked across that great gulf, and he says to him, Father Abraham, if you could dip your fingers in that water, or let Lazarus do it, and touch my tongue, because he was suffering and tormented. He says, you can either cross here, and we can either cross there. He says, then send somebody back and warn my brothers. He says, well, what? They ain't listening to the prophets. Why do I need to send somebody back from there? They ain't gonna listen to them either. Read that thing. It's important. Because by chance, he had an opportunity to do good, and he chose not to what? Do it. So I didn't mean to leave y'all on that sad note this morning. But a good note. Because by chance today, some of you all will have an opportunity to be a neighbor. Today, some of y'all will have a chance. Kevin, I took a pen that felt good to me, but I'm going to put it back. Praise God. Some of y'all have a chance today to be a neighbor. And no, it doesn't mean you have to stop and help everybody that you see. No, but when you feel that tug in your heart, do something about that situation. Or at least attempt to do something about that situation. There was one time, and here's my last story and I'm done. 2010, we were losing our home. We were losing our home to a bad mortgage I had nothing to do with. I didn't sign a bad mortgage. My mortgage was bought out by HSBC. And they put in some bad principles and practices against us. And we end up losing our home over a two-year fight. Two-year fight. We fought them for 2 years with a lawyer. It was horrible. They had no compassion whatsoever on us. In fact, I submitted during that time my wife was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And she was out of work, had surgery and everything else. I submitted $99,000 medical bill to show them and prove that she had surgery and everything else. They said they did not care. They just wanted the house. And so we end up losing the house. Yep, we gave it to them. We just walked out. Because I believed in my heart, as long as I had my family and I had Christ Jesus, it was going to be all right.
Amen.
And somebody stood in the gap, because my credit at that particular point became very jacked up because I was fighting to keep my house. And they were raising. And God is my witness, I think we were in Myrtle Beach on vacation. Oh, can I tell y'all this story? I just got chills. Listen to this. I'm done. I am. But you got to hear this. You can't make this stuff up. So I'm sitting on Myrtle Beach, got my tent up. My sister and her family on Myrtle Beach. And I'll make it quick, y'all. I got to tell you this all my health. So I'm sitting there and I'm literally in tears because I just don't know what to do. Because they raised my mortgage 3 times in 30 days. Because they didn't want help. They wanted what? The house. It's more valuable to them to take my house, get 80% of the value of the house through their insurance, and then resell the house for 3 times and make 3 times more. They didn't care about me. I'm sitting down there for 10. I'm supposed to be on vacation for an entire anniversary. I'm going to be tent crying. My sister comes out of the hotel. She says, well, what are you going to do? I said, I just don't know what to do. I've got the mortgage of my original mortgage right here, but they're asking me for 3 times as much. It went from $2,400 to $2,700 to $3,000 to $3,400 all in 30 days. And every time somebody can give them money, the $3,000, they say, we don't want that. We want what we asked you for. And so, long story short, my sister said, what you going to do a second time? I said, I'm going to spend the mortgage. I'm going to enjoy my vacation. They don't want it. Somebody around here needs some money, and I'm going to enjoy it. And I did. We got home. When we was on our way home, we dropped my kids off with my sister and them right when we got to Richmond. And my wife and I went on to Williamsburg to spend about two or three extra days in Williamsburg because it was our anniversary. We wanted to be alone because we didn't know what was going to happen after that. And so we get out of Williamsburg. We're on our way home 3 days later. We got to go to Maryland and pick up our kids who are in Maryland and pick up my godson because his parents are on their way to Japan to take their other kid to Japan for a company for a high school something. I don't know. But anyway. Praise God. So anyway, we get them all. We're on our way home. We leave from Maryland, go all the way back to Woodbridge. Anybody know anything about North Virginia traffic? It is a monster midday. Yeah. And we get home. I get a phone call as soon as I get home. And this is what the phone call says. Man of God. I say, yes. He says, where are you? I said, I'm at home. He says, I need you to meet me back at church, which means I had to go back 25, 30 miles back north. I said, man, I just got home from a long trip. Just got my kids in. I'm just tired. I'm beaten. I'm worn out. He says, I need you to meet me at church right now. I said, I'm not going. He says, yes, you are. Come to church right now. He says, you cost me $500. To find you. I put my administrator on it. She found you in 30 minutes. I've been looking for you for 3 months. He says, but I found you. My administrator, you cost me $500 to meet me at the church. I get to the church. He gives me $3,000. $3,000. $3,000. That's when we was on Eisenhower Avenue. Gives me $3,000. He says, God told me to give you this because you need this. I said, is this for me or is this for the church? He says, nope. I always ask the question. If somebody says, God told me to give you this, my first question, anybody can tell you this, I always ask, are you saying this is for me or are you saying this is for the church? Because there's a major difference. Because what's for the church is for the church. I don't touch that. He says, nope, God told me to give you this. Started crying. He jumped in his brand new Mercedes and drove off. He asked no questions. He left. 2 weeks later, he shows back up to our morning glory service. This is in 2010. Showed up to our morning glory service. He says, man of God, God told me to give you this, $3,000 check. I said, is this for me or is this for the church? He says, nope. God says, you need this. Paid my mortgage again. He calls me 2 weeks later. He says, I need you to come out to our new business. I said, where? He said, Tyson, I said, man, I really don't have time. I'm busy. He said, man, I said, come right now. So I get out there. I know most of the people because I used to work for the guy. And, he said, man, you like my new spread and all this stuff? He said, yeah. He said, get a man your keys. Don't watch cars. Don't watch my car. He says, God told me to give you this. $3,000. $9,000 in 30 days. Paid up everything I had to pay up on all the mortgages that had gotten behind because I spent that joker. We went on vacation because God is what? Good. But my whole point in telling you all that, it got to a point where after they took my house, that I started to realize how important it was to help other people who were homeless. And so every time I saw somebody at the stoplight, I made sure I kept $5 in my car every day in the ashtray. Well, not the ashtray, the little compartment. I see somebody thing pull out, give to them, boom. So I did every day up until this one lady who was using the cane kept walking, and all of a sudden I saw her on the corner and her two people on the corner over there. And they switched positions, and she put the cane up on her arm and rolled down the street. I said, you will never, as I drove past, get another 5 cent from me. That's what I told her. I ain't tell everybody else that. I said, I got my eyes on you too. But I still help people. You know why? Because by chance, it's going to come. And until I know something different, I can't judge the situation. I have to trust God and help people as much as I possibly can. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord some praise this morning. Amen. God will help you when you learn to help other people.
Yes, He will. Amen.
But our call of duty as children of God is to make sure that we love our neighbor, not only unconditionally, but in action as well. Agape and agapeo. Those two things are very important to each and every one. Praise God.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.